Alzheimer's disease is a leading cause of death and affects an estimated 5.5 million Americans. Decades of research have greatly improved our understanding of how the disease develops in the brain, from plaques of a protein called amyloid beta, to tangles of another protein called tau, and finally to inflammation in the brain and the familiar symptoms of dementia. Yet despite all that's been learned, there is no cure. There aren't even effective treatments. And more drug trials were stopped this spring when they weren't producing the hoped-for results. Still, one leading Alzheimer's researcher says he thinks we're seeing the light. Rudy Tanzi is the Joseph P. and Rose F. Kennedy Professor of Neurology at Harvard Medical School and Director of the Genetics and Aging Research Unit at Massachusetts General Hospital. Rudy, glad you could join us.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is an incredibly complex mix. And yet you say that you think that we're seeing the light of day. And I wonder what makes you say that. Do you see treatments in the pipeline that you think hold real promise at this point?
Well, I think we're seeing the light of day in that we're making fewer mistakes. You know, every pharma company that tried to target the plaques in order to improve the cognition of patients, you know, somehow reduce the degree of dementia, has failed simply because those plaques, they did their job 10, 20 years ago. It's kind of like the plaque is like the match. The tangles are like the brush fires that spread. You can live with it. But once there's neuroinflammation, that's the forest fire. And that's self-feeding, right? So as neurons die, you get more neuroinflammation. Neuroinflammation causes more cells to die. So you get this vicious cycle. And meanwhile, the plaques and the tangles just help you get there. So you can imagine if you're treating a patient where neuroinflammation is rampant in the brain, killing nerve cells, and you try to blow out the match when the forest fire is already raging, of course it's not going to work. I think for early detection, early intervention, yes, target the plaques and tangles, because that's the initiating pathology. That's how we'll stop current and future generations from getting the disease. But for patients who are suffering right now, there are 5.8 million of them in this country, you need to stop neuroinflammation. We estimate there are up to 40 million people in this country who need early intervention right now. That's where we are developing different types of drugs, including in my lab with the Cure Alzheimer's Fund, developing what are called gamma secretase modulators, where we hope that they'll be more like the statins, the way you take a Lipitor or a statin to stop heart disease 10, 20 years before when your cholesterol is high. Same idea, if you know your amyloid is high in your brain, you start taking a drug to bring that amyloid plaque down. But you have to do it early on. I mean, imagine if you had a heart attack, congestive heart failure, and your cardiologist said, here, just take some Lipitor and go home. Obviously, that's not enough. But that's the equivalent of what we're doing with trials that are trying to treat amyloid in patients who already have symptoms.
Rudy Tanzi, speaking of trying to catch things early, I mean, several years ago, we did hear that there were preventative trials looking at people who were at higher risk of familial Alzheimer's and trying to treat early. Where did those go? Have we learned anything yet from those?
They're still going. The trials that are going on there, Risa Sperling here at Mass General Harvard, we're working with her on some of those studies. And, you know, they take a long time. You have to track folks who have plaques but no symptoms, and you have to track them for at least 5 years or more to see if taking a certain drug that stops the plaques will postpone when they get clinical symptoms. So those prevention type trials take a long time. Pharma companies are unwilling to do them for the most part, so we do them in academia. And you can imagine for a pharma company, right, to do a 10-year trial at the level they do them, that could cost billions of dollars. By the time the trial is done, your drug could be off patent and it's a generic. So the system is not really made to favor these long prevention trials. That's why we have to do them at a lower scale in academia. The problem is you don't have a whole lot of people in them because you can't afford to do a multi-billion dollar trial, you know, in a nonprofit in academia. I think at some point the FDA has to work together with the companies and with the academics to say, look, if we all agree that plaques come early and the genetics show they come early, if we have a drug that's economically feasible that people can take and the healthcare can afford and it's safe, Let's put it out there, and let's depend on real-world evidence, as we call it, or real-world data, and see if over time the population is getting less Alzheimer's because we allowed a safe drug out there that hits the plaques.
Well, Rudy Tanzi, in the meantime, what do we know about lifestyle choices that might be protective for those who are worried about developing Alzheimer's?
Well, you know, this is why I write books, and not to promote my own books, but I did write 3 popular trade books on that. But in those books, we come up with basically 6 different categories. And I use the acronym SHIELD, which will likely be the title of my next book. And SHIELD stands for, S stands for sleep. Get your 7 to 8 hours. You need that deep sleep in order to clean the brain out of the plaque and debris that causes the disease 10, 20 years before symptoms. If you can't get 7 or 8 hours of sleep straight, take power naps. It's right after the dream sleep or REM that the brain does its cleaning out. So you want to have as many of those cycles as you can. H stands for handling stress, so meditation and dealing with stress. Stress causes inflammation. I is interaction, or you could say integration, not isolating yourself, but staying actively engaged with others. Relationships are very helpful for the brain. Loneliness, not being alone, but being alone and not liking it. Loneliness is a risk factor. It increases risk for Alzheimer's twofold. Exercise, we published a big paper about exercise last year in Science. We showed that exercise induces the birth of new nerve cells in the part of the brain that's most affected in Alzheimer's disease, the short-term memory area. And it also induces growth factors that protect those nerve cells when they're born and help the brain get better. So exercise also helps get rid of the plaque. Get your blood flowing for at least a half hour a day, even if it's just a brisk walk. L stands for learning new things. So I like to say, you know, if you're learning something new while I'm telling you this stuff, I'm helping you. If I'm putting you to sleep, I'm still helping you. and D is diet. So Mediterranean diet has been shown to be the best diet for the brain in various studies. And keeping your gut microbiome happy. You know, your gut microbiome is the bacteria, the trillions of bacteria that live in your gut are directly affecting your brain health. And so keeping them healthy, and a lot of people take probiotics or eat yogurt and probiotic foods, and that's great, but it's not enough. You have to also feed those bacteria what they like to eat. They like prebiotics or plant fiber. They like whole grains. They like plant fiber, peas, lentils. So think about your fiber in your diet, because that's what those bacteria like to munch on, and that's what keeps them happy. So that's SHIELD.
Rudy Tanzi is the Kennedy Professor of Neurology at Harvard Medical School, Director of the Genetics and Aging Research Unit at Mass General Hospital, and author of many books, apparently upcoming the book SHIELD. Thanks for all the recommendations, Rudy.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.